October 20th, 2013, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I urge, then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Their recommendations and instructions we need to follow. Although this might sound a little too traditional, here it says that we have to pray for our leaders and the people in authority and give thanks to God. God always says that we have to pray for other people, including your nasty neighbors, because praying for others always pleases God. That is the same for our kings and people in a higher place in society, so that we can live peacefully and quietly in all godliness. I have seen many Christians complaining about the Japanese Prime Minister or their bosses or employers. But we should not be like a newspaper columnist who criticizes everyone and everything as if he knows everything. We don't follow popular opinion. We only follow the words in the Bible. We don't have a king now, but the equivalent would be the prime minister and other people who are in the place of authority. If you keep cursing the leaders and the government, and if the government collapses and taken over, for example, by the communists, they would prohibit us from the practice of Christian faith. That's why we have to pray for our leaders instead of cursing them. This king could also mean people who are in the place of authority and responsibility within the church. Of course, in any church, there are leaders who become very prideful. But we have to pray for the leaders, not against them. Because if you expel the leaders from the church, the fellow believers would start fighting each other and the church might be divided and fall apart. None of that would help you to practice your faith. So please follow what the Bible says and pray for the leaders in the church as well. The verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It is true that God wants all the people to be saved. Hear the word saved. I want to explain a bit more of that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." In Japanese translation, the disciples are saying, "Help us." But the actual word used here, they're saying, "Save us," which is the same as God wanted to save people, as said in this verse. You know, in other religions like Buddhism, those who have accepted the faith are not called the saved. They might say that he is a believer or a member, but in Christian language, we call them saved. I think this can be summarized as this. All the humanity is heading for destruction, like people who are in the boat. Destruction, judgment, and hell because of their sins. But when we cry out for help, we are miraculously saved. And this is an exceptional experience, and it doesn't happen to everyone. Like the incident of Titanic, those who got on the boat were saved, but the rest of the people in the ship perished. Just like that, with no exception. Unless you get in the boat, everyone is heading for destruction and the judgment. The Bible does not say that so obviously, but it implies the fate of humanity in many places. For example, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Some of you might think that you are sin-free and this verse is not relevant to you. I used to think that way, but one day I realized that this may be about myself, since I am a sinful man too. So I needed to settle my account of my sins in my short life to be saved and to keep my salvation. God also wants us to come to know the truth. It is written because most of the people live without knowing the truth. Even for some Christians, it is hard to see the truth. For example, I did learn the evolution theory in school too, which was not the truth. Same thing with geology, which was not my favorite subject to begin with. I remember being told by a teacher that evidences of oceanic lives like shells are discovered on top of the mountains, like Mount Everest, and the scientific explanations they have are that the earth shifted and the land would invert in time. So what was on the bottom would come up, and what was on top would go down. I never really understood it. When you read the Bible, you understand that it was because the whole earth was once covered by the ocean. Human mind somehow always tried to explain things in a way we understand, but because of that, we were taught the wrong things in school. Like, we do not know where we came from and where we are going. It's a basic thing. No one knows such a basic things, but the world tries to figure out how to make more money and how to be loved by everyone and how to obtain good spouses and etc., etc. But being Christian itself does not fill you with the truth. You have to keep seeking the truth. Like story of Joseph. Why were his brothers locked up for 3 days in Egypt? It is not because of Joseph's revenge. There is some truth hidden in the message. We could only know the truth with special help from God. The verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. Here the Bible says that Jesus is the mediator. What does it mean? Please look at the Exodus chapter 32 from verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them a gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whomsoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Here Moses is negotiating with God on behalf of his people, asking to take his life instead of his people for his people's sin. This is not the only time that Moses spoke to the Lord on behalf of his people, and every time God heard him. That's the meaning of the mediator. Jesus is doing the same thing for us for our sins. I myself is a sinner too, and have come to the place of hopelessness and being overwhelmed by guilt. But what we have to remember is we have a mediator to speak to God on our behalf, and Jesus even gave up his own life for us. That's why we are here now and we are forgiven now. That does not mean that we should keep sinning, but even when I feel hopeless, as we pray now, I feel the faith wells up and hope wells up because we have a mediator. The verse 6, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Jesus literally became a ransom for our lives. So it is like our financial debts are all paid by him, if I explain the analogy with money. But here our debts are enormous, and the Lord paid everything because we could not pay ourselves. But some still believe that our debts are not paid. When I was in college, I was evangelizing door to door and visiting many houses, and since there was a music college nearby, many residences in the neighborhood were music students from the university, and they might be busy practicing when I visited their house, so I would just bless the people and leave the house. There, I met a man called Mr. Miyazaki, and who was a member of the Unification Church. He was one of a few who actually invited me to come inside and even offered me a cup of coffee. He told me that in his church, they believe that 95% of the sins are handled by God, but the 5% must be paid by yourself. I hope none of you have ever have to pay a ransom, but anyone would understand the relief that you might feel when somebody takes care of your financial burden. After I graduated from high school, I went to work and planned to go to college, and I did enter a university, but I could not pay the tuition. Then my next door neighbor, who is my aunt, was running a successful business at that time, and then she paid the tuition for me. I paid her back years later, but it was such a grateful thing that someone took care of the bills you couldn't pay. And then you forever remember the grateful feeling. And my debt to God was paid by the Christ. And I am eternally grateful for that. And that is why I've decided to live for Him and serve Him. And I came to know that whatever I thought I was doing for the Lord, it ended up saving my life too. My life could have been in danger if I stayed in a lukewarm church, for example. So whatever I thought I did for him was also helping me. The verse 6. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. It means that this God's work will be known by all in proper time, just like a time capsule you bury and decide to open in the future on agreed time. Verse 7, Paul says, "And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." Just like revelations, some knowledge is sealed till proper time, but the truth will be revealed. And Paul says that he was commissioned to reveal the truth. God always commissions someone to reveal the truth when time is called, like end time. It could be a remnant church or some other people. God always commissions someone to reveal the truth, and when they're really commissioned by God, you do see that God is moving in their lives. And I believe we are commissioned to receive the revelations. And that's why we are so active in teaching and holding seminars and publishing newsletters. And it is no surprise if we receive more revelations, since everything we do and we believe is biblically sound. In other words, if we start saying things that they have never heard before, that is no surprise either. The reason Paul faced so much opposition is because what he was saying was something totally new. It was a knowledge that was sealed until then, and no one has ever heard of it before. That's why he faced persecutions. So if we receive new revelations, we might also face some kind of opposition. since it is only natural and no one have ever heard of it before. But we never have to fear what other people think, as long as we are in good standing with God.